Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi, everyone. This is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago. Without the intro music and without a live studio audience, but nevertheless, we will be bringing the energy and positivity and a very powerful, God willing, podcast for you today to start your week off. We are doing, again, no music at the beginning because it is the 3 weeks. In fact, we're entering the 9 days. Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, begins this coming Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening to Thursday. It is one of the two fast days in the Jewish calendar that we actually fast an entire halachic day, meaning the fast starts at sundown on Wednesday, July 22nd, and goes till three stars out on Thursday, July 23rd. The only other day we do that is, as you know, Yom Kippur. So that is Yom Kippur. But the two holidays are sometimes confused. And I'd like to tease that out just a little bit first. Then we're going to talk about what we're doing. What is going on over here? Are we just depressing ourselves? Are we in a state of mourning? If you would see me now, I got a nice, big, bushy beard. We don't shave for 3 weeks. We don't have any weddings and major celebrations. We curtail building in our homes for pleasure. Obviously, if things are broken, we can fix them. But this is a time of mourning, of tragedy, that our best friend, the Almighty, his home in Jerusalem, the temple, is destroyed. And what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit around and party? So theoretically, we could adopt this all year round, because all year round, the Almighty's house is destroyed. Yet, we do a few things all around the year, but we focus on this time in particular because this is when the two temples were destroyed. A couple of the things that we do around the year, everyone knows at a Jewish wedding, the husband steps down on the glass underneath the chuppah as a reminder that even at the times of our greatest joy, we put Jerusalem and the Almighty above that, that our joy is not fully complete, as well as something a little less known, is that if you enter my home, you will see a 2-foot by 2-foot space on the wall, which is unpainted. And in fact, I had to have the painter who painted the whole wall unpainted scrape it off, because that is another one of our greatest joys, which is to own a home. And if we own a home, we leave a 2-foot by 2-foot area unpainted to, again, recognize this all year round, that our joy is not complete without the Almighty. And yet, this is the time now, as we're approaching this week, this is called the Shavua Shechalvo, the week in which the Tisha B'Av falls in this week, again, Wednesday night and Thursday. And therefore, the mourning gets more serious and more intense. And beginning again on Wednesday at sundown through Thursday, three stars out, we fast. And the custom is to, well, the halakha, the Jewish law, is to read the Megillas Eicha, the Book of Lamentations, as well as at night. And then in the day, to say kinos. Kinos are literally lamentations, but not the actual Book of Lamentations, but poetic poems of mourning. Dirges, that's the word. Dirges. And they are written, sadly, over the last couple of millennia, and all the way from the destruction of the temples, all the way through to the Holocaust. There were certain rabbis who survived the Holocaust, their communities survived the Holocaust, and they wrote kinas, these dirges, about the experiences that we went through. And they all have a common theme. they have a common theme that because of our sins, we were exiled from our land. In other words, we don't play the victim card. I think if there is one ideology out there that the Jewish people oppose and should oppose with vigor, and you'd think it'd be anti-Semitism, and yes, okay, it's another discussion for another time. But this idea of victimhood is probably the greatest threat to Judaism. Why? Because Judaism rejects victimhood. We reject that when something bad happens to us, we can then lord over everyone for the rest of history and behave immorally and do whatever we want just in the name that we were a victim, justified by our victimhood. We don't need to work hard. Why? Because we were abused. We don't need to uphold moral standards. Why? I can't help myself. I was a victim. Judaism fundamentally rejects that. And our last 2,000 years of history, we have been taking hits left and right and center, one after the other. And we have never thrown ourselves a pity party. Not once. We lick our wounds. We look inside. We introspect. And we try to figure out what did we do wrong? What was the divine patch on our back ends? Pardon my language. That we needed to wake up for. What were we doing wrong? And therefore, Tisha B'Av is the vehicle not to pity ourselves, but to elevate ourselves, to become the people that we should be, to become individually and as a group, the Jews that we should be and that we can be. And we recognize that each individual Jew matters. Each individual Jew matters. Because if we wouldn't matter, then what are we doing mourning on the floor on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av? Our actions matter. We matter. And that is why Tisha B'Av, an ostensibly sad day, has the seeds of hope. The seeds of true redemption, of true greatness within it. And this is always how the rabbis have seen Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av recognizes that really it was not Nebuchadnezzar, the great Babylonian king, nor Titus, the great Roman ruler who destroyed the first and second temples, respectively. It was not they. It was the Jewish people. We accept responsibility that we had destroyed the temple spiritually. So as Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, that the enemies of the Jewish people came and they ground down kernels that already were ground. It was an empty shell. The spirit of the temple had already been lost, and the Jewish people had lost it. I mean, again, what is the temple all about? The temple goes back to the Mishkan, the portable mini temple in the desert, and we know that the whole purpose of that mini temple was that God was going to dwell within the Jewish people. If we would create a space, a dira b'tachtonim, a place that literally God can live and rest among us to create lives, to create morality, to create a place where Hashem would want to be. Hashem says, I want nice people around. I want moral people around. I want spiritually striving people around. And when the Jewish people were doing that, we were able to bring God's presence in our lives through this temple and in our very beings. And yet, when we spurned God's law, when we spurned the ethics and the ethos of which God wants us to live, then guess what? Then God distances himself until fundamentally we break and violate our relationship with the Almighty so much that he leaves us, not permanently, but he removes himself further layers away. And then
when God's Shechina, his presence, leaves the temple, then Nebuchadnezzar and Titus and all the enemies throughout the generations can destroy the temple and can prevent us from rebuilding it. And so, folks, the real avoda, the real service of Tisha B'Av is rebuilding that spiritual connection with the Almighty. That's what it's about. It's about taking responsibility, not blaming other people for the things that happen to us, and accept full responsibility that I can do better. And we're human, and we're supposed to make mistakes, but we're supposed to take accountability and commit to do better. Now, I want to share with you one of the most amazing initiatives that I have ever seen. And usually I try to share things on Monday Motivation that I feel confident that I am on that level, or at least I'm striving to be on that level. It's in the ballpark. I honestly have to say that I'm just sharing information, but I do not claim to be anywhere near the spiritual level that is needed for this initiative. And the initiative is something called Shalom for Charlotte. Now, this story, if anyone has a heart of stone, it will be cracked wide open by this story. This story is absolutely incredible. Charlotte was a girl who was actually killed in a car accident. Her name is Charlotte Hertzberg, Aleha Shalom, a blessed memory. And this whole incident has taken the Jewish world by storm. And so what happened is that Charlotte's father, Yuri Hertzberg, on June 2nd, got a call from his wife, who was frantic that there had been an accident. And he rushed home and he saw that his daughter Charlotte was being treated by Hatzalah, by the Jewish Emergency Ambulance Service. And he saw that his best friend and Chavrusa, that he talks to about everything, and they're very close, was there. But he was on Hatzalah, but he was not treating Charlotte. And he saw that he was looking extremely sad. And he didn't realize until he put two and two together that his best friend, who was not texting, who was not talking on the phone, by accident, struck his daughter, Charlotte. And Charlotte ended up dying. And Yudi was beside himself, his family, grief. And he couldn't fathom. How could it be that if this was going to happen, it had to happen through his very best friend? And you have to hear the words of this man, Yudi Hertzberg. It's angelic. So he was wondering, how could this tragic death happen by his closest friend, his Chavrusa's study partner? He said, the only answer I could think of is this. There was a conversation up in heaven. God was boasting about how peaceful our community is, how much shalom there is between neighbors, how different types of Jews could all get along. And the Satan, which is the forces of evil, came along and said, big deal. The only reason there is shalom, that there is peace, is because they've never been tested. And Hashem gave the Satan permission to test us. This is the only plausible reason I could come up with. And then Yuri's voice rose. Satan, Yuri said, you underestimated us. We will not fall for your trap. We will not point fingers. We will not spread stories. We will not allow this terrible incident to rip us apart. We will double down on how loving we are with one another. I bear no grudge against my friend. He is still my best friend. And I ask you, he concluded, to join me in bringing more shalom to the world, more peace to the world. And they started this unbelievable movement called shalomforcharlotte.com. I mean, you can go, they have a website here. I'm looking at it right now. They're asking people to reach out to someone with whom they are close or were close and are no longer close, or there's something that happened between them, and to reach out and to dig down deep and to apologize. On the website, there are currently 2,629 acts of shalom have been made. 2,629 phone calls have been done in the, I assume, mostly the Orthodox world, but I would love it for it to get out to all corners of the Jewish people, to call someone to apologize, or even if, I would say, to be initiate a conversation to try to bring peace. Sometimes we need to apologize. Sometimes we need to call someone and say that you really hurt me, and this is why I'm feeling this way, and I would love to work it out because I don't want to feel that resentment to you. And this is why I said that I am not necessarily on this level. It is extremely difficult, high level to be on. And yet, these Jews have shown that they can do it, and so can we. The second temple was destroyed because of what we call sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. This is literally the antidote to baseless hatred. This is getting to all of the issues that drive us apart and challenge us to make peace, to bring avas chinam, free love. I know that in our culture doesn't translate well, but love that is not hindered by past disagreements. This is an opportunity. This thing is taking off like wildfire. I have to say that I have many students who come in and out of our lives over the years, and I reached out to one of them today. Now, this is a student that we haven't been close with in years, someone that we were extremely close with. And we had a memory of him that was extremely funny, an interaction with one of our children. And I sent him a message, and it was the wrong number. And then I sent it to the right number. And what happened? He wrote back, and we had a wonderful conversation, text, and God willing, in a few weeks, when our schedules are aligned, we're going to grab coffee. You know, I'm sure there are other people I need to call, but I think everyone out there has at least one person to call. And this is what it means to have the greatest construction project in the world. We have to rebuild the temple, not with bricks, but with our good deeds. Each one of our actions, positive actions, helps rebuild the spiritual temple. And there is a tradition that the third temple will actually not be built by human hands, that it will fall from heaven when we have built the spiritual temple. God will literally have the third temple fall from heaven. That is the greatest construction project in the world, because it's hard. Putting together steel girders and stone and wood and nails and cement, that's easy. But building our souls, overlooking the hurt that was done to us, that is difficult. That is something that we should all pray to be worthy of. And then Tisha B'Av, the holiday where we sit on the floor mourning, God willing, will be transformed into a day of joy with the coming of Messiah speedily in our days. God bless. Have an amazing week. Plug into Tisha B'Av. Call one person. One person. You got this. And God willing, we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.